Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Bless you. I'm trying to recover from the Holy Ghost. That's why I'm just kind of talking here. I'm just going to trust that he's just going to be flowing this entire service. And hey, I believe the Lord did some things during worship there. And just believe today's the first day of forever for you now. Amen? Amen. 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 I'm not going to start preaching and get my message. But let me just say this. When the Lord reveals something to you, you get it forever. What the enemy gives you can fall off. When the Lord gives you something, you may mess it up, but it's not going away. We're not there yet. I appreciate that, though. We're not there. The scripture, we're not there yet. Yeah. You'll know because I'll start reading it. They're doing a good job. Give it up for the tech team, man. They got a hard job. Now, you can take down the scripture, but that's doing a great job. There you go. Hey, it's our church. When the Lord gives you something, you get to keep it forever. And so if he shows you something for you, just believe it's yours, right? And I believe I'm not a good follower, right? And so just because something's popular doesn't mean I'm going to like it. And I believe in travailing prayer, but there's a certain level of travail that means you don't believe what God said. And there's a certain level of travail that doesn't believe that God is near you. And I find a lot more fruit in just believing in what he said than begging him to do things he already said he would do. So that's a free little bonus for you right there. Luke chapter 23, before we get there, we're going to talk about Jesus. Remember Jesus from the Bible? You remember him from the day you got saved? He was the one who saved you. Remember when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost? He was the baptizer. Is this on, Mike? It's on, right? Okay, good, okay. You remember him, right? Now, you remember Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He was sent to earth. And there's a popular theory that Jesus came to die. Jesus came to die. Now, I'm not about to give any heresy. I just want to tweak that concept a touch. If Jesus only came to die, do you remember that when he was a baby, the angel told his parents, don't go back the way you came because they're looking to kill Jesus. If his only job was to die, then they just would have gone back and let him get killed. But there was more than just to die. And so some people say, well, he had to write the Bible. Well, that's good, but he didn't write the Bible. Right? The Holy Ghost inspired men who wrote the scriptures, and women in some cases. But so that wasn't it. And they said, oh, well, he had to be a teacher. Well, that's funny because he said the Holy Ghost would teach you all things you need to know. am I rattling you here? I hope I am. So Jesus came to not just say some things and not just heal some people, but Jesus came to demonstrate a life of being fully surrendered, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, that was because that's the life you're supposed to live. Now, he was fully God and is fully God, but the Bible says that he set aside his divinity while he walked the earth and lived life as man. He wanted to demonstrate the life that you could have. You're like, oh, you're saying that we're God? The Bible says that he only did what he heard the Father do, or what he saw the Father do, and he only said what he heard the Father say. And just like Jesus heard the Father and saw the Father, so can you. Amen. And just like he was obedient to the Father, so can you be, and so can I be. Praise the Lord. And so when the Lord says to you, guess what, you're called to do this, that means that you're called to do that. Right? Now we go through a process of confirming and all that good stuff, but when the word with the he's God, and what he says goes, and the devil can't stop what God is doing. I feel like this is a good word, Mike. I really do. I think this is encouraging. I would like to hear this. I'll listen to it later, and I'll amen myself. Listen, it's so easy to look at our circumstances and judge God's word according to what we see and what we feel. But what God says is true. Are you with me? My wife is getting rocked. I'm happy. I learned from George and Banoff, the way to a happy marriage is keep your wife drunk. In the Holy Ghost. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, there. Well, honey, we told you we need a liquor cabinet, and that's not what I mean. Come, Holy Ghost of God. Come, Holy Ghost of God. Now listen, you can't do this without the Holy Ghost. We need to obey the Father, but you can't do it without the Holy Ghost. Why? Because that's the way God designed it. Otherwise, you just have to set up legalism and follow the laws and the rules that you set. And the way that works is you only set up rules that you can keep. All right? So let's just follow Jesus. And so as Jesus was obedient to the Father all the way to the cross, as he approaches the day of his sacrifice, he begins telling his disciples, listen, I'm going to go. And they thought, that's crazy. There's no way they're going to kill you. But that was God's plan. He had to be sacrificed. He did come to die, but that wasn't it. He had other stuff to do. I thought you were going to take care. How are you going to get my monitor? Oh, my monitor guy is on the ground. So I didn't get my monitor. That's what it is. That's a spirit-filled church for you right there. So Jesus came to die on a cross, and as you know, he was beaten all over Jerusalem. He was assaulted. They tried to make him talk, but he doesn't follow anyone else. They wanted to make him defend himself, and Jesus has no need to defend himself. Amen? And then they took him to the cross, and they nailed him to the cross, and there's what they call the seven final sayings of Jesus. There's the seven things that he said on the cross, right? The seven final things that Jesus said on the cross. And in the next 4 weeks, this one, and then the following three, we're going to study four of those words that Jesus said on the cross. Now, on the fourth week is Resurrection Sunday. Amen, that the pagans call Easter. And most of the world. And on that day, we're trusting that God is going to bring visitors to give their lives to Christ. Amen? Amen? I want to see more people get saved, don't you? Yeah. And you can get them saved out there, but I find it a lot easier to get them saved in here. You get them washed in the worship, get them in the presence, get them washed in the Word. Heaven's open. They meet Jesus. Life is good. Amen? You get divine appointments on the streets, do that, but it's a lot easier to get them to church and get them saved. But today, we're going to talk about the first of Jesus' last sayings. I'm trying to collect myself still here from the Holy Ghost. Hope I'm okay. Hope I'm coherent. I'll check later. I got a question for you. If you knew you were about to die, what would your last words be? Think about it. There's websites out there, and I don't recommend you go check them out, that chronicle the last words of executed Americans. And they get all the people who had a last words as they're about to be murdered by their government, and they catalog their last words. And you wonder, if you were about to be murdered, and you knew you were going to be murdered, what would your last words be? Now, a lot of people, their last words are, I'm innocent, and you'll find out you did a horrible thing. A lot of them say, you know, hey, tell my mom I love them. Other people are kind of crazy, and so they incoherently babble. But if you think about your own mortality, one thing I can guarantee you, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. The challenge is some people never live before they die, but we are all going to die. And we may not know when that's going to be, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we have to live our lives not knowing when we're going to pass. But at some point, we're on death's door and we have the ability to speak. What would your last words be? Jesus knew what he was going to do when he got to the cross. And he knew that he was going to have last words. And he knew that we were going to be talking about those last words today. Because he's God. And so we're going to study some of these last words. You got to figure, you know, if you're about to leave your house, not see your family for, you know, a couple days, couple months, couple years, forever, the last words are going to be important. So we're going to study those. This is the first one here. For in Luke 23, verse 34, put that up here. Jesus was saying, and here's the first of his final seven words that he said. Jesus was saying, Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And while Jesus was there praying for forgiveness, the people were gambling over his fine clothes that he got robbed of so they can keep them themselves. But if I was you and you were me and we're about to be murdered for no reason, it's highly unlikely that your last words would be prayers of forgiveness. And so this whole concept of forgiveness is so powerful. It's so counter to what our culture teaches. It's so counter to what logic teaches. It's the opposite of self-preservation. Let me say it this way. It's the opposite of man's kingdom. It's literally God's kingdom on earth. And here's what I feel is going to happen as we share this message in the next three. I feel like as we talk today, this message of forgiveness is going to unlock the barrier to the anointing in many of your lives. I believe that as we talk about this, the Holy Spirit's going to bring things up in your heart and in your life that are keeping you from the breakthrough that God has for you. I believe that in many of us, God wants to do amazing things in our life, but we have put up roadblocks to his blessing. Unknowingly, often. We don't even recognize that we've done it. And Holy Spirit is here to knock on the door, asking us to drop our guard and let him rush in. Now, forgiveness is an offensive thought to a lot of people. I can't tell you how many folks they've come to me with problems, and I talk about, hey, you got to forgive. And they get offended with me that I would say that they have to forgive. As if you don't understand what they did to me, I can't believe you would tell me to forgive them. I can't believe you would let me do that. Let them, here's the first point I want you to know right here. We got to get this ground rule done. It's number one. On your handout. If you don't have a handout, you can put your hand up, and the usher will give you one if you need one, all over the room. Ushers, if you'll hand those out. Our number one point here is that only Jesus is worthy to judge. Write it down. Only Jesus is worthy to judge. If you're taking notes, and I hope you are, Hebrews 4:15 says, "We do not have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet," look at that last phrase right up here, ushers, if you got some more things, "yet without sin." You ever been tempted? How'd you do in the temptation? Keep your hands up. They'll bring you a little handout here in a moment. We have them in the bulletin. If you want to grab a bulletin on the way in, and Jesus, everything that you've been tempted with, Jesus has been tempted with it. And yet, he didn't sin. Let me tell you something. Are you trying to get over a sin in your life? Don't ask people to help you who are given into the sin. Are you hearing me? If you're trying to keep yourself from drinking, don't go to the club and talk to people about how to quit drinking. If your marriage, if you're having a hard time in your marriage, don't ask your divorced friends for advice. I'm not judging you if you're divorced. Hear me. That's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is, talk to someone who's walked it out. Jesus was tempted in everything you've been tempted with, and he didn't sin. Are you with me? Only he is worthy to judge. Only he is. If you're bound in a sin in your life, find some people who find it disgusting and confess it to them. It's part of the problem with AA. You're going to sit around and talk with people who you sold your stuff and abandoned your kid to drink. I can understand that. No. Tell it to someone who's like, what? What's wrong with you? Because there needs to be a level of shame to that sin. Like, our culture has just lifted shame off of sin. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But guess what? If you think it's okay to do that foul stuff, you're not in Christ Jesus. You need to be in a sin and be like, this is disgusting. I need some help. There's a problem right here, right? Hallelujah. Number two, I'm going quickly because Holy Spirit thought it was that way. Let me say this real quick. Jesus is worthy because he's God. He's the Son of Man and the Son of God, and he didn't sin, okay? Number two, you ready? Only Jesus is anointed to judge. Only Jesus is anointed to judge. Number one was he's only worthy to judge. Number two, only Jesus is anointed to judge. There's a lot of people who have appointed themselves to do things they're not anointed to do. You ever got a prophetic word from someone? You're like, yeah, that's not who you are in my life. You've been not been anointed to do that with me. Someone wants to give you advice, wants to teach you, like, you're not really anointed to do that. Maybe you shouldn't do that anymore. I've heard amazing worship leaders who sing beautifully and have no anointing on their life. I'm like, man, that sounds good. If only God was giving an amen to it. Get to the prayer closet. Let's wait till he anoints you to do that. A lot of people run off and try to start a ministry they're not anointed to do yet. They do it outside of God's season. It's not just what God wants, it's when God wants it. Amen. And if you're single and you desire a spouse, I say amen. That is God. God wants you to have a spouse. The question is when. Amen. You're going to get a spouse who's right where you're at spiritually. If you're dating someone and you think they're so much more spiritual than you, guess what? They're not. They just have hidden stuff. Because he doesn't bring people like this. That's not how he does it. It's not how he does it. If you think someone's so much more spiritual than you, then you're probably being deceived. I don't know who that's for, but I love you. All right. John 5:27. The Bible says that the Father gave Jesus authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. The Father gave Jesus the authority to execute judgment. You know what that means? You don't have it. Sometimes we find people who are anointed to do what we want to do, and we take their favor and try to get under it and do what they've been called to do. Okay. I might rush through the end of this message, right? You ever known someone famous? And you know there's people who hang out with them just because they're famous? You know there's a word for that. Groupie. And just because you're hanging out with a band, you might think that you're important, but you're not. You're a groupie. And sometimes people get tired of being a groupie, and a new wave of groupies come in. Right? And so sometimes we hang out with people who are anointed to do stuff, and we think we're important because we're with them, but really we're just being a church groupie. We need to find, let me say it this way. You may feel called to be significant. That's God. But don't try to steal someone else's significance to make yourself feel significant. Get your own anointing. Get your own favor. Does this make sense? Don't fall victim to, I need to feel significant, so I will subjugate myself to someone else's calling. How do I say that? We're to serve what we feel called to do, right? But that isn't, our significance comes from the Father. I hope that makes sense. Don't be a groupie. All right? You can get your own favor and your own calling. I see people who feel called to preach, and they get on the worship team because they feel like that's going to get them closer to the mic, and it doesn't. It just gets people staring at you. And just because people are staring at you doesn't make you significant. I hope that helps. Number three. I'm going quickly, but I don't want to keep you long. Jesus is an intercessor, not an accuser. Jesus is an intercessor, not an accuser. So let's think of this. Jesus was innocent. Not only did he get sentenced to be beaten within an inch of his life, he was then sentenced to death. An innocent man sentenced to death. That means all the people who sentenced him and are beating him are all guilty of assault and murder. And the one who was anointed to judge them is the one being beaten. The real judge is being assaulted by people. What did Jesus do? Did he turn to the Father and say, look, now get him? No, the one who has authority to judge cried out for forgiveness. Now, hear me. Jesus came empowered with the Holy Spirit to show us a life we could live when we give our lives to the Holy Spirit. And instead of accusing people what they did wrong, he prayed for them. Now, when you find yourself in a hard situation, when you get squeezed, we'll say, that's when you find out what's inside of you. When everything's going good, when all the bills are paid and the marriage is good and the job is good and the kids aren't acting stupid, that's not when you find out what's inside of you. It's when you get squeezed. Like you buy toothpaste and you can only assume there's toothpaste in the tube until you squeeze the tube and then you see toothpaste come out, right? You don't even really know until you squeeze. When you get squeezed, that's when the real you comes out. When people turn on you, when you find out somebody had talked about you, and you find that, you know, the thing that you thought was going to work out didn't work out, that's when the real you comes out, when you get squeezed. You don't know if you got victory over something until you get tempted. You know, like you give into the sin and then you repent. You're like, I wish it would come back now. Like, well, no. It's not when you decide you got victory, you find out what's in you. It's when you get tempted is when you find out what's inside of you. And Jesus got squeezed on the cross. And that's when we found out what was really inside of him. John 1:17 says that the law came through Moses, but grace and mercy came through Jesus Christ. The law comes through Moses, but grace and mercy comes through Jesus Christ. This is the new covenant that Jesus commanded us to walk in and take to the lost world. This new covenant of grace and mercy. Not a word of judgment. Let's say you had the sweetest orange juice in South Florida. Let's say your oranges came out so sweet and so beautiful that when you made orange juice, it like made sunshine rain on people, right? Right? And you're like, man, the Lord gave me this super anointed orange tree in my yard for me to sell this orange juice for his glory, right? And, you know, it'll pay my bills, but he'll be glorified. Right? And so now you want people to buy this orange juice because it's from heaven, right? It's heavenly orange juice. Are you with me? Are you getting thirsty right now? I love orange juice. I like it with pulp. I like to eat it. I like to squeeze. I love orange juice. I remember I was in Washington, D.C., and I was at a political thing, and I was there with a guy from Miami, and they're like, we're going to have orange juice and bagel, and he drank it, and it was like Tang. We're like, this ain't orange juice. I'm from Florida. This ain't orange juice. This orange drink. This ain't orange. I'm talking about orange juice. I'm from Florida. I love some orange juice. You know what I'm talking about. And you want people to buy your orange juice. Think about what you might do to get them to buy the orange juice. Here's what you do, right? You go outside and you tell them how disgusting their drink is, right? Don't you know you don't even like that drink? You hate that drink and it's bad for you. Is that what you would do? No, what would you do? Give away free samples, right? Are you getting this? So we don't get them to fall in love with grace and mercy by telling them about the law. We don't tell them about how good Jesus is by telling them how terrible they are. We give away grace and mercy. And they're like, my God, where did you get that? I'm like, oh, I got it right over here from Jesus. You want some more? Because it'll make sunshine rain on you. You drink some of this, and heaven will rain on you. All we got to do is give away the good stuff. Oh, you got pain? Here, I got a little bit of healing for that. You want a little bit? You know, the first hit's free. You know what I'm saying, right? First hit's free. Second one costs your life, you know, but the first hit, give a little bit of that life away. Jesus is not an accuser. He's not, he don't want people to get judged just because they're messing up. He's like, no, give them goodness. Because if they get goodness, then they'll repent of the badness and they'll turn to Jesus. Are you with me here? Man, there was a woman caught in adultery, and what does Jesus say? Yep, well, guess we got to kill her, you know. That's what the book says. Once we kill her, well, then she won't have any more adultery. That ought to solve it, you know. That ought to fix it right there. We'll just kill her. No, what's he do? He's like, let the first one, whoever doesn't have sin, let him throw the stone. Who's the only one in that group who didn't have sin? He said, let the one without sin cast the first stone. That means if he threw a stone, then everybody could throw a stone. But the one without sin did not throw a stone. He's interceding for this woman who deserved to be murdered according to the law. And so when we get squeezed and we find ourselves doing ugly stuff and we're ready to point fingers, just recognize that when we turn into that accusation, we get tied to the sin. Because we can't handle judgment. Our heart is not pure enough. We're in 21 days of prayer, fasting, and personal devotion. Amen. And during this season of 3 weeks of prayer, fasting, and personal devotion leading up to Resurrection Sunday. A lot of people think that means, I can't eat for 3 weeks. Yeah, there's a lot of legalism about fasting out there that I got to let you know isn't part of the new covenant. It's almost like the teaching is God won't bless you if there's food in you. Like, I'm just missing the scripture that says that. You can't earn anything from God unless you're hungry. Like, whoa, it's not in there. It's not in there. Just be free from the legalism in today's Christianity surrounding fasting. Just get free. Some people, they feel self-righteous because of their fasting. Just be free. Be free in Christ Jesus. Amen? Some of you, the Lord's going to tell you to fast. Then fast. Right? You may choose to set aside food so you can get closer to Jesus. Do that. That's good. Everybody can do personal devotions during this 21 days. That's a choice that you make. I want to challenge you during this 3 weeks. Cut some stuff out of your life that clutters your mind. Like some of us, we just watch too much TV or, God forbid, follow politics too closely. I have close friends who love Jesus that I had to start hiding them on Facebook. I'm like, I'm tired. Like, I can go to CNN if I want to see this. I just want to see what Mikey had for lunch, right? I don't care. I don't care what Bernie Sanders said in Utah. I've got to be honest with you. I don't care. Like, I just don't care, right? Sweet Jesus. That's not social. I was going to start hiding folks. I only got 7 people on my Facebook feed to begin with, you know? Like, I don't care. Like, this, like, it just clutters your mind. During the next 3 weeks, like, cut stuff out. You'll find that, you know, before all this, people were able to live. Oh, America is going to blah, 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 blah. Well, that's great, you know, but, you know, they elected, you know, Nero was the lead, and Christianity spread all over the world. And he was murdering Christians. I want to get back to the book of Acts. Really, you want Christians to be slaughtered? I'm good. I want something better. But, you know, Bernie and Trump and Clinton and Cruz, they're not going to save America. Only Christ Jesus can save America. I got a Savior already, thanks. I'm good. That slot is filled in my life. I just want somebody to lead the executive branch well, right? I don't need a Savior. I'm good. Are you with me? I'm good. No, we don't actually. What we need is Jesus, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So for the next 3 weeks, you know, don't just fast, pray fast. Right? Come to prayer maybe, start coming Tuesday mornings, Friday nights. We have intercession before service back here. You know, when we have people pray before at the end of service here, we hear them pray Friday nights, Tuesday mornings. We know how they pray for you. That's why it's a safe place to receive prayer here, because we pray together. Right? You want to learn how to pray? Get around people who pray. It's pretty easy. All right? But for the next 3 weeks, we're just going to set ourselves aside to hear God more. Because we get squeezed and stuff comes out of us. We get more accusation than intercession sometimes. Right? More complaints than petitions. And so we want to switch that during these 3 weeks. Number 4. Oh, I'm going to finish here soon. Pretty proud of myself. Are you ready? Number 4. Jesus is still praying for us. He's still praying for us. Romans 8:34 says this. You can write this down. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So the Bible says, if you're hearing condemnation, if you're hearing accusation, if you're hearing judgment, if you're hearing bitterness, none of it's coming from God. Let me help you hear God a little better. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm going to give you like a crash course in hearing God more. Sometimes you hear God more by knowing what his voice is not saying. Then you just eliminate lots of non-God stuff, and then you can focus on the stuff that might be God, right? If we can eliminate the absolutely not God, then we can kind of weigh the stuff that might be God, right? If you're hearing any words of condemnation, of judgment, of bitterness, of putting people down, of seeing things that are wrong, not God. Wait a minute, who's condemning? Who's judging? Not Jesus. I'm going to read that again. I think it's good news. Who is the one who condemns? Do you know the answer to that? The enemy. And sometimes it's not even the devil. You know what it is? You. Right? So if your wife says something negative to you, don't say, "Get behind me, Satan." That is not the way to a good marriage. Don't do that. You might just want to say, "Honey, I don't really think that's true." Right? Just that might be better than "you foul devil. Come out!" That's not a winning proposition in a marriage. I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't tried it. I just have a feeling. Don't do it to your boss. I want to talk about your work productivity in the last week. Come out, devil! You know, don't. I bind you, Satan! Don't. It's not going to work well. If your pastor tells you to do something you don't like, or a leader in the church, it's probably not the devil. Well, let me say it this way. It's not the devil that's telling you. It's the devil that's getting you worked up. I find if we want to fight demons, deal with your own. If anybody asks help with theirs, then you can help them. Short of that, just deal with your own. Oh, Carl, focus. I'm almost done. You guys okay? Are you good? How will you know if you're anointed in deliverance ministry? Let me tell you. This is me taking a bunny trail here. People will ask you to pray for them. But how will they know? God will tell them. Number 5. Hey, I said 5, worship team. I meant 6. Number 5, you ready? Anybody ready? Are you getting anything here? Are you ready? I'm feeling good, and I'm almost done. Forgiveness turns you from a victim to a victor. From a victim to a victor. Listen, if someone is getting over on you, the way you put them above you is to be bitter. The way you get your power back is you forgive them. As long as you're bitterness, they own space in your heart and they're not even paying rent. Don't let people live rent-free in your heart. Don't let them. Don't let them. You know who gets authority in your heart? People who add value to your life. That's who gets favor in your life. You hear me? In your life. Only give people who add value to your life favor in your heart. If they're not adding value, don't give them any property. Right? If you owned a house, you wouldn't let somebody live there rent-free while they're destroying the bathroom. You would evict them. And many of you got to evict some people from your heart. You know, "Oh, well, Pastor, Jesus said love everyone." Sometimes the only way you can love people is to evict them from your heart. Sometimes you got to get people from here to here so you can love them. You hear what I'm saying? You are verbally swinging a knife, and you're going to have to swing it from arm's distance. Healthy boundaries sometimes are the key to maintaining a loving relationship. You can swing that knife all you want over there, and as long as you're swinging it, you're going to stay over there. When you're done swinging the knife, you can come closer. I'm giving you authority. No freeloaders in your heart. You set the boundaries. Amen. Pastor, good word. Thanks for... Listen, but Jesus is still praying for people. He's interceding right now. Forgiveness turns you from an accuser to an intercessor. The moment you release them from their sin. Look at this in Romans chapter 8. 8:34, you ready? Oh, I already did that one. My bad. Jesus, I used it in the last one, but Jesus is the one who died, rather was raised, who's at the right hand of God, also intercedes for us. John 20, verse 22. You ready? Let's read that. Sorry, tech team. When Jesus said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Check this out. "If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." This is all I want to say, and I'll move on. He tied receiving the Holy Ghost to operating in forgiveness. And you partner with Holy Spirit when you release people from their sins. It's a good word, Pastor. And Jesus is still praying for you. Why? Because he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Number 6, we're going to end with this. Are you ready? Mercy triumphs over judgment. You want to be a victor? Because mercy triumphs over judgment. We got like 15 people on the worship team. Look at that. Hear me. The world's going to tell you if you don't hold sins against people, then they got over on you. That's because the world doesn't know that mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let's say it together. Mercy triumphs over judgment. There is a hook. What if, let me ask you a question. What if the enemy had somebody sin against you just so he could drag you into sin? What if, Hoffa, the enemy saw you doing good these days? What if you said, "Man, she's looking happy. Her life is full, getting along with people. I got to mess this up somehow. I know what I'll do. I'll get that person that she trusts, and I'll give them a bad day. And I'll have them be rude to Hoffa." Boom! Sink a little hook into her. Because I know Hoffa's going to get offended, and they'll drag her right into the enemy. And so this person that Hoffa loves and trusts, you know, she calls her. She's like, "Oh, why are you calling me?" Now Hoffa has a choice. What am I going to do? Am I going to turn bitter and give the enemy room in my life? Or am I going to be powerful and say, "Nope, they must be having a bad day. Father, just bless their day today.
Yeah.
Father, whatever's ailing them, just get them real good, Jesus, because they're a good friend and that's not who they really are." What just happened? Mercy just triumphed over judgment.
Amen.
Judgment had no authority. Judgment had no authority there. You see this? It makes you powerful. Oh, praise Jesus. 2 minutes late. I'm good. Stand with me if you would. I want to pray that Jesus would do this in our hearts. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we enter this Easter season, we just pray that you would give us divine appointments with people who need to know your goodness and your love, and to know that you are a forgiving God. Just put your hands out. Holy Spirit, just give them the ability to forgive easily. Heal hearts today, Jesus. Do what only you can do. Wow, I feel like Holy Spirit is giving. You might feel your hand even begin to tingle or burn right now. I believe the Lord is here and he's giving out gifts. Now, this might seem a little super spiritual, but I'm going to do it anyways. Keep your eyes closed if you would. Don't make this up, and I'm not telling you to experience something. But if you begin to feel your hand tingle, or especially if it begins to burn, like abnormally burn, trust that the Holy Spirit just put something in your hand and go ahead and put it on your heart. Ha. Ha. All over the room, the Holy Spirit's using people right now. Ha. Fill them with your love, Jesus. Jesus, fill them with your love. Ha. Now, I'm going to go with this for a second. I wasn't planning this, but just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost lightly. If you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, just begin to worship Jesus with your mouth, with words. Ha. But you might feel a prayer language coming out that you don't know the words. Jesus, right now, ignite them. Give them a vision of what you're calling them to do. Give them a vision of what you're calling them to do. Show them, Jesus, who you're calling them to be that witness to give them that invitation into the sweet, sweet nectar of life in Christ. The Lord is showing you people you need to begin praying for these coming weeks. Who you're going to reach out to, who you're going to share this kingdom with. We're going to go back into worship as we begin to just devote that to God. I want you to do this in your life. I want you to begin thinking about the people that you need to release from your judgment and your bitterness. Who you need to walk in forgiveness with. Word of advice, don't walk up to them and tell them you forgive them. That's between you and God. Just begin to release those people right as you're standing in this love. Release those people from your judgment and bitterness. It might be a family member. Might be me. Might be your boss. Might be your spouse. It's between you and God. You don't go to them and tell them because that's just you judging them. But right in your own heart, decide to walk in grace and mercy, that you're going to walk in forgiveness right now. You may need to say it under your breath. Lord, I forgive this person. Help me to walk in love. Now, I believe there might be a few people here today and you need forgiveness from God. You're away from God and you need His forgiveness in your life. And right over here at the intercession banner, some people, and they're going to pray with you. Right here, they're going to pray with you. If you brought someone today and they need forgiveness from God, you can just bring them right to that banner when we start singing. Now, if you need prayer in your body and you need healing, we're going to have our directors here. They're going to pray for your body. Just as Jesus' body was broken, your body's broken. And just as Jesus released healing, you're going to receive healing today. So, Father, I thank you for all these people. I pray that you would bless them this week. I just declare prosperity in their finances, prosperity in their relationships, and prosperity in their walk with you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen, amen. Can you give a clap offering to the Lord? Again, if you need to get that relationship with Jesus fixed, right over here. And if you need healing in your body, you can come right up front. And Corey's going to share a song with us. We're going to sing on your way out. If you need to go, we love you. If you're a first-time visitor, I'm going to be at the Next Steps table, and I'd love to meet you. Bring your connection card, and we got a free gift. Amen.
When love is all my fears breaking off, where hope is all my chains are coming off, your joy and peace around. Give my life, my all to you. Can I dedicate myself to nothing but you? Whoa. And let this love be a beacon of hope. And if this love's the only thing that I know, I give my life, my all to you.